Turn your Bibles, please, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, the title of my message this morning is All We Like Sheep. John chapter 10, let's begin reading in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Your sheep are peculiar animals. They have some unique traits. And oftentimes, God likens us to sheep, and he are being our shepherd. Psalm 23, Jeremiah 23, John chapter 21, these are all references likening us to sheep. It's a very appropriate comparison, but it's not a very flattering one. To begin with, sheep are dumb. I had a neighbor that they had a dairy farm, but they raised some sheep. One of the brothers raised some sheep and got around them a little bit, and they're dumb. They can't find food on their own. You know, they're difficult to teach. You've seen, like, Green Acres, they had that Arnold the pig on there, and Mr. Ed, the talking horse, and of course he didn't talk, but you know, animals can be trained, not sheep. They're just unteachable. Can't find food on their own. They bloat from overeating. They get tangled up in the brush. You always got to be chasing after them and getting them out of the trouble that they get themselves into. They need a shepherd, like we do. We're like sheep. And sometimes we're dumb. Yeah. I know I've done some dumb things. Just ask my wife. She can tell you. We need that shepherd. And the sad thing is, it's hard for people to get people to understand their need of the shepherd. I've got some family members that, you know, I've been saved for 50 years now. It'll be 51 years in October. And I've still got some family members that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I just can't get them to understand it. Their need for that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. 1 Peter 2, 25. For we are as sheep going astray, but now are returned to the shepherd and bishop of us, our souls. That's how God describes us, as sheep going astray, just constantly wandering off, just constantly going where we ought not, needing to be brought back again. Drop over to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. That's we're always resisting him. Even as saved people, we oftentimes resist God. Look at chapter 16, Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We think we got it figured out. We think we understand it. And it's just leading us in the wrong direction. Hard to get people to recognize. We need the shepherd to lead us, to guide us. You young people that just graduated from high school, I hope you will take time to seek God's face about what he wants you to do with your lives. God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your existence on this earth. Take time to learn what that is and then follow it. I didn't get saved until I was 23 years old, and I'd made a mess of my life in that short time. I'd been in jail. It was in drugs, alcohol. I was a mess. I needed God. And thank God I came to him. And I'm thankful for the life that he's given me, the forgiveness of his sins that he gave me, and the path that he set me on. Now, I can't say that I've always followed it perfectly. I've strayed at times. But I'm so glad that God's been able to have a part in my life to bringing me where I am today. The family that he's blessed me with, the wife that I have, this church, God's been so good to me. Need to recognize our need for him and our continuing need of him. It doesn't stop once you're saved. In fact, it even probably increases even more after we're saved. And you know, sadly, sometimes a little bit of success in our lives can lead to bigger problems. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Timothy, Paul's writing his last letter. And he's going through all the people that he's ministered with there and talked to and so forth. And he ends up by talking about some that are no longer there. And in verse 10 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he says, Demas hath forsaken me. And you read earlier and you find that Demas was one of his faithful travelers, one of those who had been with him through many of the trials that he's been through. But at the end of his life, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. There was a man that got off track. He had traveled with Paul. He'd seen all many of the things that Paul experienced, and the people saved and churches started. But it didn't keep him straight. And success can sometimes lead to our downfall. Look at verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's writing here about his own experience. And let me start in verse 1. Just read a couple verses here, and then we'll go down to verse 7. He says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. Paul's talking about himself here. And he says, I had this experience. And he says, I can't tell you that if I actually physically experienced this in the body, or if it was just a vision out of the body. He says, I can't tell. But he says, I got caught up to the third heaven. God took me up and he revealed some amazing things to me. He says, things that it's, you read on in the chapter. He says, things that was unlawful for me to speak of. You folks talk about dying and seeing heaven and then telling all these things. Paul wasn't allowed to talk about that. I got some question about those who claim that they've been to heaven. But that's a tangent. But this is the experience that Paul had. And the revelation that Paul got from God is just amazing. He got the revelation of the New Testament. He wrote 14 of the 27 New Testament books. He got the revelation of the salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Completely turning things upside down. As Jason used the example in Sunday school this morning that, you know, like you're playing checkers, you just play on the same board as you play chess. And to switch over to chess, you got to clean the board and start all over again. That's kind of what God did with the gospel. The Old Testament salvation was different than what we got today. And Paul got the revelation of what God did through Jesus Christ on the cross, paying the price for our sins, paving the way for us to get to heaven. The door through Jesus Christ, we read about in John chapter 10. So Paul's got all this amazing revelation that God's given into him. In verse 4, he says how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Now go to verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says, God saw the problem that I might have of thinking it's me and not him. God put a thorn in my flesh. God popped my balloon. He kept me humble. He goes on in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Christian, you need to understand that. Our lives, anything, success in our lives that comes is by the hand of God. I look back at my life, these last 50, almost 51 years, and I'm just amazed. And there's no way I could have plotted out the course of my life. This country kid from the southern tier of New York State, first, God took him down to Tennessee to go to Bible school. And then God took him up to Rochester, New York to finish. Had 1 year left. I was managed to cram that into 4 years up in Rochester. And then from there, God led me out to Northwest Kansas for 17 years. The backside of the desert. The wilderness of the United States, where there are more cows than there were people. But I needed that. Because God was still, it took him 17 years, but he had some refining to do in my life still. And then he brought us to central Pennsylvania. And after 2 years, this church was started. But God did that. And the moment I start thinking that I in any way had anything to do with it and accomplishing it, I'm on my way down. It's all to the glory of God. And we got to be careful about that thing, because success can be a hindrance in our lives. Paul understood that, and we as God's people need to understand that too. We need God, and he's the only one that can accomplish these things. And we need to continue to recognize that need of dependence upon our God. They're difficult to teach. They're also, sheep also have no sense of direction. They put their head down and all they're thinking about is the next clump of grass. And the next clump of grass. And the next clump of grass. And they lose track of the shepherd. And the next thing, they're lost. And that's just like a child of God. We get our head down like Demas, hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. The allure of this world gets control of our heart and pulls us away from God. We lose sight of what's important. Be careful, Christian. No sense of direction. Cats and dogs can find their way home, not a sheep. When I was a kid, somebody gave us a beagle. And like I say, I grew up in Owego, New York, if any even know where that is. The Susquehanna River runs down the eastern border of the town. And we lived on the west side of town, about 2.5 miles out of town. And these people that gave us this dog lived on the southeast side of town, about 10, 11 miles away from where we lived. And they gave us this little beagle dog, probably about, I don't know, 6, 8 years old, something like that. And I think we had him for 2 days. And he escaped. And we couldn't find him. And a day or two later, we got a call from the people. He'd gone back home. Now, not only was it 11 miles, but the Susquehanna River was in between where we lived and where that we'd got that dog from. Now, I don't know how he got across the river. The only way we could get across it was the bridge that went across it. And if he went that way, then he had to go through town to get back home again. I'd love to know the story behind that. But if he was a sheep, he'd have never made it. Because they got no sense of direction. And they lose sight of the shepherd. And the next thing, they're in trouble. And that's just like us. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and was set down at the right hand of the Father. We've not endured such contradiction of sinners against ourselves. We need to keep looking unto him, that author and finisher of our faith. And Christian, it's so important to keep your eyes fixed on him. Stay in the book. You need to be in this thing daily. Even if it's just a verse. The 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. You want to grow as a child of God? You got to feed on the word of God. That's what this is for. To help you. It gives some man's thoughts on some things on the verses read, but at least you're reading a verse. It'd be better to read more. It'd be good to read through it every year. Did you know that 15 minutes a day will get you through the entire Bible in a year's time? Personally, I read it 3 times a year. So I spend about 45 minutes to an hour every morning in my book. But at least spend some time. You start getting away from the Word of God, you're pulling away from Jesus Christ. This is important too. This is not a man-made organization. Yes, there was a group of us, about 20 or so, 24 years ago, that got together and started this church. But it's God's church, not my church. It's God's church. I believe God wanted this church here. I believe the blessings that God's given us in those 24 years prove that God's behind this thing. I can't say I've always done it right, but I know that doing it was right. This is God's church. That doesn't mean another church in the area isn't, but I know that this one is. And if you're a part of this church, you ought to be a part of this church. You need this. You need the fellowship of believers. You need the feeding from the Word of God. And you start missing a service here and there. You start missing reading your Bible here and there. And next thing you know, you're that sheep. It's wandered off, away from the shepherd, lost, separated, and in danger of predators. Be careful. Our walk with God is only maintained by a deliberate effort. If you let up, you're going to start to go down. You got to work at it. Drifting is so gradual, so subtle. You look up suddenly, where am I? How did I get here? And how do I get back? You know how you get back? You call for the shepherd. Because he's always watching. He's always listening. Yeah, there may be times when we get away, but God is always aware of it. He'll call you back. Look at Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 4. Start at verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, with what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you. So he's given this story about a sheep and a shepherd looking for that lost one and being excited and happy that he found it and he's got it on his shoulders and he's bringing it home. And he says, verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You can never get too far away from God to not come back or to come to him initially. Like I said, my life was a mess when I got saved. God delivered me from the dunghill. He forgave me of a lot of sins. Some of them that even trouble me to this day. But I am forgiven. And he rejoiced in bringing me back. There's not a one of you that can get too far away from God that he won't desire to bring you back and rejoice when you come back. That's what God wants. That's what I want. It grieves me when we lose people. Some folks have a good reason for leaving the church. You know, the door swings both ways. We can't keep you here. But I desire to. I never rejoice in somebody leaving the church. And neither does God. He wants to keep you. You know, we won't read this, but if you read on to the rest of this chapter of Luke 15, it ends with the prodigal son. And what happened? That was a boy that said, I've had enough of the farm. I'm going to go live it up in the city. I'm going to enjoy what's out there to be enjoyed. And he did. And he left. And the father never gave up watching for him and waiting for him to return. And when he did, he killed the fatted calf. He rejoiced. He put a ring on his finger, put clean clothes on him, and welcomed him home. Because our God loves you more than you can begin to understand. And he desires not to have you wander away. They got no sense of direction. And next this. Sheep are followers. They've got a flocking instinct. A little boy was in school and his teacher was giving a math quiz, the whole class. And she says, "Little Johnny, if you had 12 sheep and 5 of them jumped over the fence, how many would you have left?" And he says, "None, teacher." She says, "No, Johnny, that's wrong. It'd be 7. And he says, "No, teacher, you don't know your sheep. There'd be none left. Because if one goes, they're all going." They're followers. I heard an old evangelist talked about having spent some time with a shepherd. And he says, this old guy, this scraggly old fella out there lived with him, you know. And he had this stick, his stick out there. And he had it cut out like this, and the sheep were just running and jumping over the stick. And he's sitting there, and this guy, this evangelist is watching him. And after a while, he just pulled the stick away. And the sheep kept running and jumping. Even though there's no, and they sit there chuckling about all that. They're followers. You know what? We're like that, too. That's why this country's in a mess. Because people follow without thinking about what they're following. Oh, I heard this on the news. Mark Twain said, "If you don't read the paper, you're uninformed. If you do, you're misinformed." How many years ago was that? 100? It's worse today. And now you got internet, YouTube, and all the other nonsense. There is so much garbage out there, folks. You be careful about what you believe. There is so much deliberate misinformation being presented to us. And you've got China and other countries like that that are deliberately trying to deceive on TikTok, on YouTube, and all kinds of other sources as well. MSNBC, ABC, Fox, doesn't matter. They all miss it somewhere or another. Don't be a follower. Keep your eye on the shepherd. Keep your nose in this book. Let this instruct you and teach you. Be aware who you follow. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul is nearing the end of his life here now. He's about to go to Jerusalem, where he's going to be arrested and then taken to the Roman prison. And he called for the elders of the church at Ephesus. He wanted to meet with them one more time as he's on the way. So he sent word that, "I want you to be here at a certain time. I want to see you once more before I go on to Jerusalem." And he says this down in verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So this is the leaders, and look, they're the under-shepherds of the flock. He says, first watch yourself, then pay attention to your flock. Verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." He's warning these elders of the church, of a city that he evangelized, the church that he established. He says, be careful, because there's wolves out there after your flock. They want to destroy them. They won't spare them. Verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." As he's looking at those elders of that church, he says, even from among you, You leaders, there's some that will turn away and to try to draw others after them. Watch out. Beware of that thing. Look at our text in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And my fear is that sometimes Christians don't know the voice of your shepherd like you should. I mean, there's been times I've been about to do something, and that still small voice says, don't. And sometimes it's that voice. Don't. And I don't. And I say, thank you, God. Listen. There's times I haven't listened. Listen to that. Know that voice. Be so close to your God that you're not going to be deceived by another voice trying to lead you astray. Listen to that voice. Look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Know who you can trust. And even trust them with a measure of caution. Because Paul said, even among yourselves, some will raise up and draw disciples after themselves. Beware. Watch who you follow. And this is all under sheep are done. The second point is this. Sheep are weak and defenseless. They're defenseless because of their senses. As the wool grows, it gets down over their eyes. They can't see too well. They got poor eyesight to begin with. But then there's their nature. You think about their nature. They're not fast. They have no natural defense. Dogs, cats, they got claws, they got teeth. Sheep, there's nothing to defend themselves. They need the shepherd. They have no strength. They have no courage. And when attacked, they weary quickly and faint easily. Sometimes Christians are like that. How many times does Paul tell us, stand fast in the Lord? Having done all, stand. Stand, Lord, with your loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness in Ephesians 6. We need the protection and care of our shepherd because we're weak and defenseless. And we need the confidence to trust him. Listen, folks, if you get nothing else out of this morning, learn to trust what God said here. And don't let somebody else tell you, well, that really should say this. Or it really means this. No, you read it and believe what God said. God gave us his word. God preserved his word for us in the English language. This is as much God's word as the original Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, which don't exist anymore. This is God's word. You can believe every word of this book. You may not understand it all, but you can believe it. And you need to believe it. You need to trust it. You need to let this be the guide in your life. And you even need to check what I say with this. Because this is the authority, not me. I'm only authoritative as long as I speak what this says. If I deviate, I'm wrong, and I need to be dealt with. You stick with the book and be confidently trusting that. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, most people know what verse 8 says. But oftentimes we get passages like this and we don't know what the next verse says. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Let's read verse 8 first. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." So he says, day and night, we need to be in this. Every day, every night, spend some time in God's word. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Meditate upon it constantly and observe what it says. Now, I know that Joshua only had the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. But I believe that principle is found elsewhere and applies to the entire body of Scriptures. We need to study it, obey it what's written therein. He says, and he ends verse 8 with, "For then, after you've read it and meditated day and night, not let it depart out of your mouth, then thou shalt make thy way," say it, "prosperous. And then shalt thou have good." You know, that's the only place in the Bible the word success appears. And it's associating with being in the Word of God. But the next verse is the one I wanted to call your attention to. Verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee?" Has he? "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." A lot of things in this world to fear. But God says, you fear me, and you don't need to fear anything else. Because perfect love casteth out fear. He says, "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Whether it's to Walmart or Target or down the road, it doesn't matter. God's with you. You think about that. God has promised, as this child, if I've trusted him as my Savior, he has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. Well, what if I do some awful sin? Well, you ought not, but he's still not going to leave you nor forsake you. He said, "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 tells us. Nothing. Not sin, not spirits, nothing can separate you from God if you're his child. He has you in the palm of his hand forever. And he'll never let you loose. Let's wrap it up back in John chapter 10 where we started this morning. John chapter 10. Verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." When does eternal end? Eternal life. "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Right, I'm right there. In the palm of his hand. "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's security. That's eternal life, kept by the power of God, as it says in 1 Peter. Amen? Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord,